KVU Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KVU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KVU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kbu.org.
Hi there. Listen to KBOO Portland, 90.7. It is 10:01.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, December 12th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio. This is Sanctuary Radio, Portland, Oregon at 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM on the air. Don't forget about that. A great website and the fastest way that you can become a member right now. If you are not already a member of KBOO Sanctuary Radio. Today we have a great guest returning. Many listeners are familiar with Jody McCaffrey. We have huge breaking news out of Coos Bay. Jordan Cove. And we'll be getting to that in just a minute. We've got a few quick headlines to run through, and then we will be right. We'll be right with you, and bringing Jody McCaffrey back to the KBOO airwaves today. And we have weather first, though: overnight showers and low around 38. And for tomorrow morning, breaking freezing fog early on, and then a bit of sunshine and a high around 30. Hey, get this, a high around 35. Is that, could that possibly be directly from the mouths of the National Weather Service? East, northeast wind 6 to 11 miles per hour, and it could gust up to 12 to 17, especially in the Gorge. We could get winds as high as something around 30 miles per hour. That's just great with temperatures in the low 30s. For tomorrow night, again, partly cloudy and low around 27, east-northwest winds 20 miles per hour, gusting up to the low 30s, 31 miles per hour, and upwards from there. I have an interesting note here. There were murmurings this morning on various other radio programs of the deadline for prosecution to decide about the second Malheur Refuge trial. The first one, the charges were so utterly and completely absurd. There was really no point in holding a trial. Not only that, of course, we know that the Malheur defendants, the occupiers, barely participated in their own trial the first go-around. It was a laughable charade. And the public felt that their tax dollars had just been blown down a hole. So now the talk of a second trial, everybody's hearts are going pitter-pat as we wait to hear. But you know what? If you Google Second trial, any combination of keywords will get you exactly nowhere. It'll take you straight back to October at the conclusion of the first trial. It is simply not there. And if you do find a headline for it, I did find a headline for it, you try to have a look at that, and it tells you this page is not available. Ho, ho, ho! It certainly isn't available, is it? This is just this morning. Federal prosecutors, though, they have to decide today whether to move forward with the second trial in February for the occupiers. And, of course, it would be so inconvenient if the public did weigh in on this and say, how about we have a trial for these people? How about we do have a trial after all? Because whatever the first event was, it was not a trial. The charges were absolutely ludicrous. And continuing on from that, an Arizona man, the latest, Joseph Shaughnessy, who pleaded guilty to the federal conspiracy charge 3 months ago, of course, before a jury acquitted seven of his co-defendants. Now Shaughnessy is awaiting trial on accusations stemming from the 2014 stand-up. His defense attorney, Tony Schwartz, says that he would like very much to change his guilty plea, since he sees how very, very easy it is to get off. So our national security agencies, the CIA, the FBI, FBI not so much, but definitely the CIA, want to take a look at the link, the hack, which possibly resulted in the positioning of Donald Trump as an actual president. How did that happen when we were asleep? So it turns out, though, that the way that this is being phrased, now watch this very carefully. We're going to go to Jody in just a minute, but just watch this one very carefully. Instead of asking in the media, whether or not there was a Russian hack, the way that this is being phrased in the media is, who is responsible for the Russian hack? Who is responsible for the hack of this past election? So that establishes, without question, that there was a hack by punting to the corollary that we now have to discover who is behind it. It is presented to the public as a given. That's very interesting, and that's a good sign, in my opinion. And I'm going to always let you know that am I biased? Hell yes, of course I'm biased. So are you. So are all of us. That said, welcome, Jody McCaffrey. We're so glad to have you back on Air Cascadia, KBOO. Thank you. Hello. Good morning. I think we have Jody on the line here. We'll be speaking just momentarily. Jody has some breaking news for us. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to have you on the show today. Thanks very much. Jody McCaffrey is pretty much the sole force behind Citizens Against LNG. And so there's been some interesting developments. The feds will not reconsider their denial of the Jordan Cove LNG terminal in Coos Bay. That would be the headline. Can you take us a little bit deeper than just that surface decision?
Well, I think what happened is FERC actually denied this project back in March, and Jordan Cove filed a request for rehearing of that decision, and FERC came out on December 9th, which I think is a very substantial date, because on December 9th, a year ago, landowners filed a very important letter with the FERC FERC filed their response to the request for rehearing the exact day, a year later, that landowner letter that Jordan Cove never really responded to. And I want to say this is actually a win for landowners that stood up and held the line when they didn't have the resources, but they held the line and, you know, fought the good fight. And FERC actually, in their denial or of the request for rehearing, actually you could see that FERC had read what the landowners put before them and used some of that information to justify why they denied Jordan Cove's right for a rehearing.
That in itself is interesting. This is one of those Mondays when it's often not the actual story itself, but the connections and what the story tells about the way we consume information. So this is backers of the plan to excavate the shipping berth. The resulting dredge spoils to build an 80-acre mesa behind the shipping berth. All of this stuff sounds pretty dicey, given the fact that there have been earthquakes. There was one just a week or so ago that it was offshore, directly offshore from Jordan Cove. They're always careful not to mention when the reports of the earthquakes come in. They're very careful to sort of hide the fact that this is right offshore of Coos Bay. You don't want to alarm people, at least alarm the backers and their hopeful investors.
The project was never appropriately sited. I mean, it was just ridiculous. They were trying to put this at the end of an airport runway on a north spit, which was nothing but sand.
It's a sandbar, yeah.
Inundation and earthquake subduction zone. There's no way. When you got into the details of this, it was just ridiculous. But it's just like nobody would stand up, or the process didn't really get into that. FERC actually bypassed all that by just going this other way and going, oh, they don't have market conditions and landowners. They didn't get landowners. Landowners held the line, did not sign off.
Yeah.
So that should give hope out there to other people fighting pipelines. There is a way that you can stop this by just sticking together and, you know, looking at the issues and saying this isn't appropriate here because of certain issues. It was a lot of hard work. I mean, because people were impacted. I mean, and we really worked with those people to try to get good comments going in from business owners and stuff that were impacted, like oyster farmers and timber harvesters and other people along the pipeline path. But it paid off by just following the process and really having landowners hold the line, even though this project had many other problems. I mean, even if they were to get past this landowner obstacle, this project, environmentally, it would have gone through 400 water bodies. It was so devastating in that regard. Jordan Cove is never going to see the light of day. That gives hope to people that you can fight this. And finally, a federal agency, you know, ruled appropriately. Of course, we still know that there's things coming in the future, and we'll have to hold the line because there was an attempt at the end of this year to run a big, huge energy bill through that would have fast-tracked projects like Jordan Cove, and that's probably going to come up again in the next session, and so we have to really be standing a guard on that to get the law to be appropriate for people, not for corporations to come in and trample people.
Right. Well, one of the recent Veresen is Calgary-based energy company that was backing the project, and they've asked regulators to take another look. They've also submitted preliminary agreements with Asian utilities, they say, and the terminal operator to prove that there was a demand for the terminal and the pipeline capacity. Well, I think it's not that difficult to prove a need, because as the population increases, there's more demand for energy. So sure, that would be be a predictable report right there. But the offshore investment in this thing, especially given the fact that I don't know how this will affect Coos Bay or any decisions going forward, but new Justin Trudeau poster boy, it says that he's planning to run a pipeline from Alberta to the West Coast. So where do you think it's going to go on the West Coast? You know, I don't know.
Yes, there's, we, you know, the
final, yeah, just your final to wrap up right now. We're just about out of time on that note.
We've got to get off of fossil fuels. We have to go to renewables, and we can do that now. That we have the technology to do that and have the same energy. So,
thank you so much, Jody. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Today, it's engineering for us, Terrell Lowry. Derek Crooks is the KBOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435